Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rich Money, and you tuned in to GQ Palace Radio. Love and entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Oh, babe. Come on. Oh, babe.
Come on.
Oh,
it gets even better.
That stays hot. I ain't gotta get my buzz back. What everybody trying to be now, I was that. Yeah. They can never stop me. That's why I love rap. Love. Been living the life, crazy ice. With the baddest chicks in the world, maybe twice. The swag, the gear, the bread, all the whips is a year ahead. I only fear the feds. 45 on the other side of the peephole. Headshot from point blank, all of the pre-so. Funny, cause I had the vision since Coleco. Back then, still ain't reached my peak though. Louis Loafers, yeah, Polo Pico. Call me whenever the bosses meet, yo. I drove Poppy crazy, so the industry's never gonna stop me, baby. They can't stop me. Whether I'm on Fifth or LA, it's a swap me. It's all good, cause I know the gangsters got me. First things first, the jaws of broccoli. I treat the rap game like a large monopoly. One on one, niggas can't guard me properly. And when they double team me, the odds are sloppy. I move like them 80 milligrams of oxy. Send your sister back to your family, not me. Got too hot for the grams, got weed. In the rap bracket, he remains the top seed. Revolver hold six, quick to blow three. Audio heroin, so you don't OD. Shooters know you, but you don't know me. The block is crazy, can't stop me, baby.
Money, and welcome back to another episode of Love and Entertainment on GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show. We had Camellia with the GQ General Question. We had up-and-coming artist Destruct, and he did his thing. We played his smash and single Restore Order. He let us know what was his inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist coming into the music industry, and filled us in on what his next step is about his mixtapes he got out and dealing with Mike Ice under Lock and Key Entertainment. Now, we also had DJ Alamo in the building, one of the biggest DJs on the scene right now. And he let us know what was going on with him and his music thing, how he was getting down. Then we had Ginger Patterson, William Patterson, and they author Amora from Midwest Magic Productions, letting us know what was going on with them. They filled us in about the artists they looking for with their record label, how much things they got going on and all that. And it was just a whole lot of stuff that was filled in. But to listen to the archive, you go to Blog Talk Radio and type in GQ Palace. That's GEEQUE Palace, and check out the archives. Now, tonight, we have another spectacular show for y'all. We have, this is a little different, but don't be scared because it's all the same. We have Minister Arthur Weathersby with the GQ General Question. Then we have up-and-coming R&B sensation Iris. And we're going to be playing her smash single, Worth My Time. After Iris, we have a gospel singer, Minister Martin Rogers. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace. We'll be right back with Minister Arthur Weatherby and his GQ General Question. It's butter, baby.
Tongue. She blew up like a bomb. The second so explosive. explosive, huh? Her stuff is supersonic, huh? She my new addiction, I swear I'm through it, huh? Rosé and Usher Raymond, girl, we the hottest, rocking the most ice, I said we the hottest.
You've been saying all night long that you could
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Minister Arthur Weathersby. Minister Arthur, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure to be here. How
Thank
you doing,
you.
Bro?
I'm all right. I can't complain.
Good.
Can't complain. But I appreciate you taking out the time to join us and let everybody know that you are one of GQ Palace's biggest supporters, and we definitely appreciate that.
Well, you guys are doing great things, so I don't mind supporting you at all, bro.
Thanks a lot. Now, would you like to tell listeners a little something about yourself?
Well, yeah, I guess I can. I'm not anybody all that great. I just happen to do whatever God would have me to do. I've been fortunate enough that I've worked for about 29 years with the Social Security Administration and ended up retiring on January 30th of 2009 as a district manager of the local Glassboro, New Jersey Social Security office. And I made a point from that time on to try to do whatever I can for the Lord. So I'm doing work, but it's not work that pays me. It's more of a work that's a labor of love. I just enjoy helping people and encouraging people, and that's what I do.
Well, you know what? There's no better payment more than that anyway.
That's right, sir.
So, you know, money ain't everything. It's what you can give to people mentally, you know. And that's just the way I see it.
I agree with you, sir. We singing the same song. Because I think it's more important that you try to give what you can to help one another and encourage one another, because I believe that that's a distinct purpose why we're here in this world. Is to be help one to another.
Exactly. I definitely agree with you on that one. And that's what a lot of people don't understand.
Yes, sir.
What's your topic for this evening?
Well, you know, I thought about it for a minute, but one of the things that I'm very passionate about is family, and particularly, you know, we're going to just keep it, in, you know, where the callers can really get into this. I'm just concerned about what has happened to the disintegration within the black family as we know it or as we knew it. It doesn't seem to exist these days, and it's very serious, because some of the aftermath of that is what we see happening within marriages within the black family, and then also the relations between the parents and their children, and a lot of things that go on in the streets are representative of that.
I definitely understand you on that one. All right, Dons and Divas, the phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to give your point of view on Minister Weatherby's topic, or stay on the line to hear the show. Now, me personally, in that situation, I feel like, you know, like, it's the discrimination amongst us blacks. But you know what else it is to me? It's also the environment.
Yes.
That they're around. Because you got some of these kids, their parents could do the best that they could do, but once they're not in front of their parents and they get around those other kids and they see, like, maybe the how their persona is towards other people, and they feel like they got this power, they're going to follow behind them.
Well, you know
what I mean?
Yeah, and I understand that, because we hear a lot about what is known as the peer pressure. But you know what? I do believe that if things are being done the way that they should be done within that home, a child can withstand peer pressure. I just believe that. I mean, I grew up in an environment and in an era that peer pressure, you know, they had people doing a lot of things and engaging in a lot of things. But you know what? Some things that, we don't have to succumb to that. That's my point. I do believe that we have the ability and we have the power to not allow our environment dictate who we are and what we are. I think that that's something that once that's instilled within the home, within that home environment, it fortifies a child when they go out there in the world, because the world going to present things to you that are contrary to what you learn in the house.
Okay. I definitely agree with you on that one. But at some point, you know, you might peer pressure and everything. I agree with you on that one. But what I want to do, I want to get this caller. We have a caller. I want to come on. So we're going to bring that caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, did you hear the topic for this evening?
No.
Okay, I would like
to. Are you just calling in? This ain't no freestyle.
Excuse me.
I know that's T.
How are you, Minister Weathersby?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
What kind of listener are you?
You're part of the family.
Look, I did call in, but I think my phone is acting retarded.
Oh, yeah, it's the phone.
Could you repeat the question, please, Minister Weathersby?
Well, the question is what's going on within the if we can try to explain what's going on with the disintegration of the family, and particularly in the black community, where it's really prevalent, it's really bad, critical state from what I can see, and that's really the general question.
Could you break that down a little bit for me?
Well, what it is that. Where I know of a family setting and how I grew up understanding what family is supposed to be about, that's almost non-existent today in our community. We don't have any type of a semblance of what a true family is supposed to be about. I mean, you got kids out here raising themselves.
Well, I agree with that.
And some of the parents that are parents right now, they didn't learn properly, so what they're doing is they're having babies, and the babies are not learning properly because the parents prior to them didn't learn. So you got a couple generations out here that seem to be totally disconnected with what understanding of a family is, and that's starting to manifest itself when you start to look at what's going on here with our children. Kids are killing one another. They don't have no respect for authority at all. And
they don't have a respect for themselves, and so, you know, therefore they're not going to respect the elders or nobody else.
Well, that's something that they would learn again from within the home.
True.
You need to have some examples from within the home that will allow the child to understand that you can respect you, that you should be respecting yourself, and not only just that, but respecting one another as family. I mean, family is not really when I was growing up, and the way I was taught about a family, you stick close. I mean, we used to say that blood is thicker than water.
Exactly.
That don't seem to be working these days.
No.
Right.
You know, because, and I mean, I fully understand you on that. It's sad, you know, but like right where I am, you know, it, like you said, you know, kids are killing each other constantly, you know, but you got a lot of parents that's out here partying with the kids, getting high with the kids. So, of course, you know, you're not going to respect them. I mean, how can you expect for them to respect you when you out here letting them do and hang with you 24/7, you know, or the son or the daughter selling the mother or father crack or weed, you know? You're sitting there getting high with your kids, so you only gonna give us so much respect, you know. And I see it every day, right where I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just it's really sad, You know, but then when you try to tell that kid, well, you know, I don't want you doing this. Well, guess what? That kid gonna look at you and be like, excuse me? You doing
absolutely.
It? You know? You laying up here with a different man every other week or whatever. So that kid is gonna do the same thing. I mean, I just experienced, it wasn't even a couple of months ago, this 14-year-old girl had an abortion within, what, 4 months? Two abortions. You know?
Two abortions?
Yes. Yes.
Jesus.
You know, I didn't know what I was taking this child to the doctor for, right? And the second one, that's when I took her, right? And they was like, you're almost 4 months. We can't do it. You know, this child searched high and low until she found somebody that would do it.
Wow, are you serious?
You know, and I'm like, you just killed an innocent baby, an innocent human, you know? And you hollering about you use protection. How can you use protection? You know, and your mother is like going crazy with her insurance, you know, can you get this done? When you sitting there come to find out, you getting high with this child, you letting the guy stay with her at night. What the hello? I wish I would. I wish I would even thought about having somebody laid up with me at the age of 14. I wouldn't be here to tell you about it.
Nowadays, what they doing, these young girls out here, they look like they're about 18 and 19.
Thank
they really
you.
Be 14. Yeah. And what they do is, not taking sides or anything, but they'll tell a guy that they like, that they're their age, knowing that
exactly.
they're younger.
Exactly. You know, they can be 14 or 15. This dude can be 23, 24 or older. But you telling them, and because you look that age, then, you know, hey. But then when it boils down and you get caught up in some mess, you know, this guy's going to get caught up with statutory rape or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not fair. It's not fair to the man.
Well, you know, I don't excuse. I don't like excuses. I don't make excuses for nobody. For number one, I would say this: it's easy to say that for a guy to say, "Well, I didn't know," but you know what? No, I'm not buying that either.
right?
No, I'm not buying that either. No. For some guys, it's almost like a notch on the belt to get a young girl, you know, a young woman. On somebody younger than them, that's almost like getting a notch on the belt, and it's just this mentality that exists within our communities that makes it, you know, seem all right, so to speak. For instance, the big issue with me is, you know, besides the child is having abortion, the fact that she's having sex at 14.
Exactly.
That's something, and you know, and oh well, she's using protection. Sex at 14? I don't care, with protection. That should not be going on at all.
It's too much. It's too much.
Well, and again, you know, it stems from what we're not doing within our communities as far as rearing our children and within the family setting. We're just not doing what we should be doing. And
right.
And a lot of things have transpired over the years that have taken us away from that. You know, I don't want to get too heavy about it, but it's almost the same as what happened with the school when they took prayer out of school. I mean, church, I mean, God don't exist in a lot of homes these days. People go through the motions of acknowledging God, but as far as living their life according to the good book, that's not happening.
No,
that's just
not
happening. No, because we got so many things that we allow to do that are permissive and you know, according to the social the mores of society, we just accepted certain things as being just, oh, that's just natural behavior for the times. No, I mean, sometimes you just have to, you know, you just can't just go along with what the norm is or what the so-called norm is, because right is right and wrong is wrong, and we're not doing right by our children. By not raising them in the proper way that they should be raised, and the evidence is showing forth in our families and what's going on within our families now.
Right.
You know, the disintegration of the family structure. You know, you got family against family.
Every day.
Yeah.
But Minister Weathersby,
that's not good.
I want to ask you something. What do you do, though, when you know that you've done your best, but that kid ends up still stranded as an adult? Where do you go, or what do you do? Because that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Well, when they become an adult, there isn't too much that you can do as far as just going in there and just taking over and leading them and guiding them, because you've done all you've done to get them up to the point where they're an adult, and they should be making decisions, proper decisions on their own. Now, what I will do is I may continually, anytime they come in my presence, they're going to hear something. I'm going to be talking about things, and if they don't like it, then don't come around me, because you're going to hear it. I'm not going to just have a deaf ear and close my eye to some of the stuff that may be going on. And then for me, you know, I'm going to be praying. I'm going to do like Job did with his children. Whenever they got together and they had a party, he would pray. Because just in case they did something wrong. And again, that's a lot of, I don't think that's going on a lot as it should. But, you know, that's, I didn't want to take it there, but, you know, this ain't spiritual Sunday, but you know, for me, where my perspective is, you know, it points to the fact that there's no serious relationship with the Lord in the household or with those that are in the household.
Right. Okay, because you remember I was speaking on, you know, me getting my grandson.
Right.
But it was just like within less than 24 hours that the whole thing, like, just switched up. And, no, I'm going to do for my own child, but, you know, I'm still, like, upset about this. You know, do I go to court about this situation? You know, because I'm looking for stability for my grandson. If you want to rip and run the streets or be at this pillar and post, that's on you.
He
shouldn't have to go through it.
I would now, see, that's a tough situation, but I would hope.
Exactly.
I would hope that the two of you would be able to get together and sit down, and it may take a lot of work and talk and get to and come to an understanding, because this leads to the situation within the families and the breakup of the families, that you find family members in court against one another.
And that's what I don't want to do.
Yeah, all that can do is just create a bigger wedge than already exists between the family. And some of these wedges are hard to break down and it's hard to rebuild. So I don't know. I'm just not one to believe that we should be putting things like that in the hands of the courts. This is something that should be done and should be resolved within that family structure, that unit. And it requires work. I mean, it's just like anything else. What we don't under—I don't know. Maybe we're not understanding this, but in relationships. You know, what makes or breaks a relationship is your willingness to be able to work through the difficult times and difficult situations. And a lot of folks just don't like to do dirty work.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't
mm-hmm.
like to put in that kind of, and you know, that's just too much. That's dirty work, and a lot of people don't like to do dirty work. But
yeah, because,
that's
you know,
you
once you get in the system, you know, that's a problem too. Once ciphers come into your home and life, you got a problem the rest of your life until that kid get grown, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And I would never, ever say that she's an unfit mother, because I know she loves him. She's doing what she can, but at the same time, if you was doing 100% of what you can, you would let him be here with me until you get yourself together.
Mm.
And that's what I tell her, you know.
But like I was saying about the court system, what I don't understand is that's kind of hard as well, because nowadays, the government got the kids calling on the parents.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
They're okaying it basically for this kid to do the wrong and dirt, you know, and then you be ready to lock the parent up because they have either disciplined this child or whatever.
And you know, Rich, you just hit on the point. I don't want to have to go there, but you know, so the people understand some things. A lot of things, like I say, have to do with what's going on within the home and the relationship between the parents and the children. But one of the things that we really have to be conscious of, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I'm not a pessimist or anything like that. I don't even believe in just blaming the man, but I'm going to tell you, there is a systematic thing that's been perpetrated on, you know, particularly within the African American community, and it's done primarily against anybody that's been oppressed. Is that when you break down that family structure, you break down the family unit, this is how you keep a people oppressed. And it's been done, I mean, it's been done throughout history. That's what they've done. I mean, when they first introduced slavery into the country, the first thing they did was break up that home. They took the man out of the house, and he ain't been able to get back in there since. And all you need to do is, there are certain things that, unfortunately, the way the systems are set up, and we don't recognize it because it doesn't come the way that we're accustomed to seeing blatant racism or bigotry or anything like that. But you got to be conscious of these systems. These things are not altogether user friendly. I mean, you know, a lot of people have bought in. For instance, I'm going to pick on that welfare system. I remember that from when I was in the 60s. I know what they designed it for. It was meant to be a temporary aid to help people that were in need. Now, you got people that just live from generation to generation on it. They done got hooked into that thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
So that they believe that they're entitled to it. I know when I was working for Social Security. I'm telling you. When I was working for Social Security.
True.
I know. When I was working for Social Security, I had people come into the office and say, I want to get my SSI. Now, Supplemental Security Income is a form of federal welfare. It became a program for Social Security back in 1974 when they took it over from the state. And that's when people were on disability benefits, getting temporary disability through the welfare system. They couldn't afford it no longer, and the federal government took it over, and it became a program for Social Security with Social Security. But it's a needs-based assistance. It's welfare.
Right.
And I had people coming in saying they wanted to get their SSI. I said, you don't get an SSI. You're not entitled to that. That's not based upon anything that you did to qualify for that. A child, a newborn baby, can qualify for it. So it's not an entitlement, but that's what has been indoctrinated in the people. And unfortunately, we're not conscious of some of the subtleties that go on in our society, and we fall prey to these things. And this is why a lot of our major economics, metropolitan cities from the early 70s all the way up to now, they've been in a depressed state well before 2008. I mean, you go into any other major urban city in the United States before the financial crisis hit in 2008, they were suffering. I mean, people in the city of Newark, New Jersey, Buffalo, New York, where I grew up at, and a lot of other major cities, if you go into some of the areas, it looked like when they had the riots in the late 60s. Some of those neighborhoods still look the same.
So
they never recovered.
Do you feel like that's the reason why it's so hard now to get on SSI, considering the fact of what people taking advantage of the situation and public assistance and everything?
Well, you know, that may be part of it, but that program is difficult to try to for a person to qualify for it. What people don't understand is that it's not the same as applying for state disability, which is temporary disability. They have a system that says that you have to be disabled for 12 months or more, or terminal, before you can even qualify for it. And the SSI program is different from Social Security. Like I say, it's a needs-based assistance program. So even if they find you medically disabled, you may not qualify for payments because of your income and or your resources. That's why it's like welfare.
Wow.
Wow, that's something to think about.
Go ahead. Okay, like in West Virginia, I know they have started this law that you can only be on welfare for 5 years, right? But I asked the question, is it just per child? You know, because if it's like for one child, you know, in 2 or 3 years after that kid has gotten to be five or whatever, what you gonna do? Go make another one, and then you got five more years. How does it work?
Well, that's a good question, but that's what a lot of people do. That's what they were doing with the
exactly
with the SSI program. I had clients that had, oh my God, 6, 7, 8 kids that they were just, I mean, they were just having kids just so they can get money.
Wow.
But again, this all points to. Some people may not believe so, but it does point to, the breakdown within our family structure. I mean, we don't have, it's not being instructed within our families about what we need to do to take care of ourselves as a family and not to be totally dependent upon somebody to help you out or to figure something out for you. It's easy just to turn yourself over to somebody else and let them make a decision for you, and that's because that's the easy way out. But you know, we need to, as a family, within families, we need to learn how to come together with all the abilities and talents that everyone has, and work through things and get things done. I mean, one of the things that used to be done when I was growing up, and I grew up in Buffalo, New York, but I also spent time from about 2.5 to 8 years old and living in Mississippi in the Delta. And one of the things that I know that used to be done prevalent during the 50s and the 60s is that if in a family situation or in a neighborhood, if anybody was in need, they all came together and they would, aid one another. They would pull their resources together no matter how much they had or how little they had. I mean, my grandmother used to make extra food just in case somebody came by.
Right.
That's the type of a family structure that I'm talking about that no longer exists. We're not concerned about what we can do to help one another or in the family or help anybody else that may be not a part of our family but just a part of our neighborhood or something like that. We don't, you know, I got mine, you get yours. That kind of mentality. One of the things that I think that hurts the African-American community a lot is that when people have the abilities and are able to move from their environment and they become successes, they don't come back. Not that they have to come back and live, but they don't come back and share nothing about what they did and how they were able to overcome. They just don't come back. It's just like, I got mines and I got to lock that thing down like Fort Knox because I'm afraid somebody, if I let you know about it, then that might somehow or another, that might take away from what I got. And that's sad.
It is. It's real sad.
But, we should be looking to help one another.
And that's why I think the government also has a part with the black community when it comes down to the situation of the black family.
I
think some of it is in a household. But I think, a parent could do what they could do. You understand? And, you got your kids that's totally different when they're in their parents, when they know what their parent is doing. But when they get outside amongst the community and their friends, their whole persona just totally changes.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that we can say that the government... Now, they're not going to admit to this because that wouldn't be right for them to try to admit to it. However, I mean, we know that things like drugs, alcohol, when that stuff comes into the community, it just don't just show up on its own. It has to be somebody has to allow it to get to where it, if they want to, they can stop drug trade real easily.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to. But
that's
the
point, they don't want to.
Well, no, because for the most part, it only becomes a situation where it impacts people outside of an affected area that, if you're not a part of the oppressed group and it starts to affect the majority, then it becomes a concern. But if it's a part of the oppressed group, well, you're not really worrying about that because that keeps them down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a form of what I call it's a form of slavery without the chains. There's certain things that we're unwittingly we done fell into that thing because it's been like I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Back in the day in the theaters, they used to have what they call a lot of advertising, and they call them subliminal messages. They would just pop up during the course of the movie, and you get indoctrinated with that thing. And then, like, for instance, they were trying to sell Cracker Jacks. That thing would just be popping up periodically throughout the showing of the movie. And before long, there you are in line buying you some Cracker Jacks.
Wow.
Because it's subliminal messages. And that's the way certain things have been done within the communities. They project certain imagery that's done through the media and various forms of media now, since we got all this here in modern technology. You know, folks are getting inundated with a lot of things. I mean, this reality, one of the things that really kills me is reality TV. That has to be the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Families, oh my God, families coming on TV making a plumb deep fool of themselves.
Exactly.
A plain straight up fool of themselves. For what?
I think some reality shows are set up. I don't think it's all.
They
get
paid
people...
for it.
Oh, yeah. This lot of stuff is
scripted. To do all that.
But there's no way I would come on TV and have five or six different men tested if you the baby's daddy.
Oh, God, please. Oh, man.
even if I didn't know who the baby's daddy was, I'm not going over there. I don't care what you pay me. But they're so quick to do it.
Well, you know
but
what
you
it
got
is,
some
though,
people I really want to know.
That's the problem. That is the problem right there, Brother Rich. These TV shows, these producers and these TV shows, they're not dumb. They do market studies and they do demographic studies, and they know that there's a market out there for that stuff. And the reason is why there is a market for it is that that's a 21st century form of the soap operas. Just as people used to watch the soap operas, now they watch reality TV.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Because people used to live their lives through these soap opera characters. Now you got some real folk that you can connect up with, and sometimes if you're crazy enough, you'll get yourself connected to one of these here shows, and then there you'll be on Judge Mathis or somebody or
right.
God Almighty. But it's just a total all of that speaks to a total breakdown within our communities, within our families, that we're willing to, you know, to put ourselves out there like that, just for what? For maybe some fame and some money, you know, letting you know that I can be bought for any price. You know,
right.
You want me to act a fool and act crazy and denigrate myself? Yeah, I'll do that. I ain't got no pride in myself, so you know, that's sad because. In order for us to be what we all that we can become, you need to have some understanding about your self-worth and your own, and pride within yourself, and your family should. I mean, we should have that type of. I was talking with somebody else fairly recently about what they used to do back in the day, when they used to sit around and have family time and sit down and just talk about. The elders might give what they do. They used to call storytelling, where they would sit around and talk about some of the things that they experienced in life. That don't happen now. We lost that we lost that connection totally.
No, they don't do that no more.
No,
they don't do that at all.
No,
it's a lot of things, you know, that used to be done. You know, it's not happening. You know, like I tell a lot of the younger people, some of the things that they say and their reactions. If it was us when we were coming up, man, we wouldn't be here to talk about it. You know, because the word was, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. I remember those words very clearly. You know, but just the reaction and the mouth on some of these kids, oh my God. You know, but if you touch one of them, you're going to jail.
Well, yeah, because the system had told them that as a parent, gives you some form of physical discipline, well, that's considered to be child abuse, and so
right.
Therefore you can report your parent, and again that also points to what's systematically being done with the breaking down and disintegrating of the family, because once you get in like Rich said, once you get in the system,
it's
you know it's kind of difficult to get out of that thing.
It is uh-huh.
It's kind of difficult,
so they're no matter what you do. You know, they go always relate back to when you did X, Y, Z.
That's right. That's right. And that's sad because, again, we all have things that we've done in our life and had certain experiences. And if we were being today, if we were to be held accountable and to what we did years ago, oh my God. I never would have been able to go through and work for the organization that I did and attain the position that I did if they had held me accountable for stuff that I did early on in my life.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
And again, that's just a way of keeping people down, and keeping you with a low self worth or self esteem, because a lot of times people become what you call apathetic when they believe that, okay, well, things have always been this way and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
So we just, you know, I'm just gonna go out here and I'm gonna do what I can. I'm gonna do what I can to survive and
the streets
is about, you know, I'm gonna make paper because you know what? Don't nobody care nothing about me anyhow, so I'm gonna just go out here and do what I wanna do and do what I need to do to survive.
Right.
But you know what I don't understand? You got these people that's coming from overseas and other countries. They could get stuff faster than the people that live out here can.
Yes.
More.
Well, you know what? Here too again is another interesting thing within our government. A lot of times when people are immigrating here into the country, it has a lot to do with our interests in other parts of the world. You know, it's like we will make favors with other countries so that will allow us to come in and do what we may need to do so that we can have a closer monitoring on the other countries that we're, you know, that may not be on our same side. And as a favor to that, then we may allow a certain number of their people to come in and immigrate into the country. And we have, unfortunately, I mean, we do have in this country, in our system of government, there are organizations that are set up to help people come and immigrate into the United States of America. And they know everything that they need to know before they leave their country. They know what to do when they get here. I mean, again, when I was working with Social Security, I had people coming into the country and hadn't even been in the country 2 days. If they were 65 years old or older, particularly they were coming from Russia as Russian refugees, and the reason why they were coming as refugees was because of their Jewish heritage. They claimed to be a Jew. They could come here and as a refugee, and they wouldn't have to go through the normal process that a person has to go through as far as applying for your lawful permanent residency status. And a refugee could qualify for a certain type of benefits quick, fast, and in a hurry. Well, for instance, like I said, 2 days after getting here, I've interviewed folks that came in that filed for SSI, Supplemental Security Income, age 65 benefits, because they knew. And then also, I even questioned the interpreter one day. The man was in the country 2 days, and he had a valid New Jersey state driver's license. I said, wait a minute. No, yes. I said, tell me, how did he get a driver's license? And she said, well, the reason why he got a license, that he had an international license coming from Russia, and you could come here and take the written test in their language. In
wow.
their own native language, and of course, if you pass the written test, they won't require you to take the driver's test because they'll just convert your international license into a regular state license. My problem with that was that, okay, I understand that, and there are some international symbols that are, you know, that are obvious for anybody, no matter what language they speak. But do not turn on red for somebody that don't speak English. That's foreign.
Right. Exactly.
And in the state of New Jersey, auto insurance and accidents, they're crazy. People drive like maniacs. But
yes,
now I understand
are.
Why.
Yeah.
I understood why.
Because
I said, my God, no wonder people
anybody.
Drive like they drive here. Because they think they're in Russia.
Wow. We have another caller. I want to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, did you hear the topic for this evening?
Yes. I think.
Yeah, you did. We know she didn't, but I know you did.
Excuse me.
I heard bits and pieces, right? And because I was a little busy, you know, just getting home from work and doing a lot of different things. So I was trying to hear exactly. It's the power of a relationship, right? What's wrong with the relationships nowadays, right?
Relationship.
maybe
she
didn't.
I guess I was wrong, huh? Now, see, you can't say that badly.
Of the
power of family, right?
Disintegration. That's all right.
I'm
sorry. But no, you and T, y'all singing the same song. you heard, but she didn't hear.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I had a rough day.
Oh my God.
That's okay.
The but
family would do
lot.
Stuff. This is how family would interact with one another. That's okay. we can laugh with one another. We can joke with one another when you're family.
And ain't nobody gonna get upset, right?
That's right.
No.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
No. Oh, that's too funny. But I'm hearing a lot of good examples, though, because I think it was T. See, you know what? I'm not even gonna go on assuming what I thought I heard. I'm just going to I'm not. But anywho, as T says, I think that the problem in family, is that there's no structure. There's
right.
no structure
exactly.
Whatsoever. And when you do allow, you know, the state to come into your home and tell you exactly what you can do with your children, I think that's a big red flag right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I think what they tell the kids is, okay, well, this is abuse if your parent does this. But they don't tell you that if you tell, you can be taken out this home and put into a foster home where the same thing might get done to you, or you
that's
might
right.
end up someplace else. They don't tell them that information. I think that's
exactly.
the part that's unfortunate, you know.
Right.
And what's abuse, you know, what is abuse nowadays is different than what was abused back in the day. Because I got
True.
Hit with a shoe, and I'm pretty
Absolutely.
Sure that was abuse, you know. I'm pretty
Extension
sure.
Extension cords, bank of belts, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, if you touch a child today, that could be considered abuse.
Right.
And get locked up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I used to always say, "Mind, you can call him if you want to. You better go with him because when I get out, I'm gonna get you even worse."
You know what? That's
I know back in the day. Oh boy.
You know what?
With a plastic bat. Well, I know those yellow plastic bats. That was abuse. My mom tore me up for throwing the egg out the window. That was abuse. Throwing the egg out the window. We don't got no food.
But your neighbors could even, you know, tap your butt. When you get home, you're gonna get another one.
Absolutely. It was a village. It was a village raising a child.
Yes.
Back in the day, and you know what, it was a good thing because that let you know that as a parent, you can have some confidence if your child is out there that, you know, that if something happens, somebody might see something, and
right.
they might, if your child is doing something they shouldn't be doing, somebody's going to step up and say, you know what, you know you shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Not that they're just totally just chastising the child, but just telling them the right thing.
Exactly.
And it reinforces what's being taught in the home.
Right. But now you might have the neighbor getting high with you telling you that they ain't going to tell you nothing.
Which is very unfortunate because you have
Absolutely.
Nowadays you have more people telling on you and what you're doing with your child versus people actually paying attention to what's being done.
Exactly.
You know? What
exactly.
they believe is abuse is what pretty much they're going to go by. And once they go by that, they're going to express themselves and call the police. And next thing you know,
right.
you have another child that's not at home.
Exactly.
And here's another negative thing about this. Now, there may be some instances where a parent may go overboard. But
right.
let's say this. What if your neighbor don't like you? For no reason,
Man.
They just don't like you. And if they want
yeah.
to get at you, here's a quick, fast way that the government has set up for them to get at you. all they got to do is just anonymously call a Child Protective Service, a DIFAS,
and then
they'll come into your home.
Exactly.
And on anonymous tip, they'll start that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Whether there's any real evidence or not, just based upon what they were told.
And you're going to continuously have that problem because they're going to keep coming up in your home.
Oh, absolutely, because there's going to be suspicion that there may be some abuse. If they see something, and who knows, they come in there and they're looking for things, and they see something and they say, oh, no, well, this doesn't fit or what we're looking, this is not the way it should be in this household, so therefore this is a potential for abuse, so then they're gonna flag that thing, and if something, if a child ends up in the hospital and that was out playing in the streets and injured themselves, first thing's going to happen, it's going to show up on a medical report. The doctor's going to write a little something up, and here it come again.
Right, right. You're going to have to always be bothered with them.
Right. And those type of things can bring forth, create division within that family. Because, you know, the child, the mother, the parents, they're saying, you know what, we can't, you know, really discipline our child the way we want to for fear of they might report us, and then the child is like, okay, well, all right, well, you know, if I get mad at you, I know what I'm going to do.
I'm calling.
I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to fight back.
Right.
And it'll just go on from there.
Yeah. I've seen that happen, too, right here in my community.
Oh, yeah.
The kid end up in one of these detentions, right, and here go the mother. You're going to get them. You know, they come home, they worse than they were before they left.
Yeah.
You know, but then you want to criticize
the
system.
I know if they come where I'm at, they're going to come home worse. I'm sorry to say. I had a rough day today.
And that's sad.
I'm not seeing the benefit at this point of what's going on. You know, I'm really not. And I'm seeing more and more parents that are pretty much like, oh, well, you know what? I've tried. I've done my best. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry,
you know,
but your best is not good enough for me in my book. I'm sorry.
You know what
absolutely.
Else is going on a lot of? A lot of these people are adopting kids just for the dollar.
Exactly.
They're not
loving
these kids and doing what they're supposed to do. And I know this for a fact. You know, you got this kid because you're getting a nice penny for him, but in the same token, you ain't really wanting that kid there.
Nope.
Yeah.
But the money is
I got one better than that. I got one better than that, though. Okay. How about... And that this was one of my questions I have, like, for anyone that is familiar with working for the state. I think Minister Arthur said that he worked for the state. Now, why is it that you could send your kid away? Your child can be in a group home or a state hospital, and your child has said that you have abused them, but yet the state would allow you to take not one, but five other kids in your household, and you don't even have your own child.
I don't understand that one.
Well, again, that doesn't make any sense. It's not. There's no rhyme or reason why that would happen. If a person, if your child was taken out of your home, why would you put the child into more children into a home that may or may not be conducive for that child?
Wow.
That makes you wonder why they do those things. It really does.
I'm trying to figure it out, but it's
one of those things that happens when you start dealing with systems, and governments and bureaucracies and things of that nature. They don't put forth the effort and time that they need to do to go in there and really investigate things that need to be done before they start placing children, because they're so overwhelmed.
No,
first off, they don't
care.
Have no places. They don't have no places to put kids. And there's so many that are into the system. It's just like a caseworker with a heavy caseload. They got to move these cases, and there's pressure to move the cases from your bosses and things of that nature. So then, you know, then they start doing things. They start taking shortcuts. That's why you find sometimes some of these social services agencies within a state where they may get when something happens with a child and that's in a social services system. Then all of a sudden there's a big investigation as to how did that happen.
Right.
But generally
speaking, all
you have to do is just look at that what happens within the bureaucracy in the system, and these caseworkers that have hundreds and hundreds of cases, and they don't have no means or resources to get to them because the departments have been slashed because of budgetary concerns, and therefore they just cut corners.
Wow.
Cut corners.
Yeah,
and,
but you know,
and the person
the
that suffers is going to be a
child. Exactly. At the end of the
it's gonna
day,
be the child.
That's the only person that's suffering.
And I agree with you, Levine, about the kids being placed in these institutions and things of that nature. I did a ministry at a detention center in Newark, New Jersey, and I remember this one kid that came in there. I think he got charged with manslaughter because he killed somebody. It was an adult, I think, that he killed because of, I forgot the particulars of it. But the child, when he went in there, he looked like a helpless young child, 10 years old. Within the matter of a couple of months, that child looked like he had been in a hardcore penal system for about a year or two. He just changed. His whole demeanor changed. And I watched that thing happen with him. And I'm just, and it's sad. And I used to try to talk to the young men there. I said, you know what? First off, God never intended for you to be in an environment like this, a place like this. And I want you to really understand this. If you don't straighten up now, they got places that they're building every single day to take you over, to take over from where this place leaves off. They don't have no problem building prisons. They won't build a school. They won't properly fund schools, but they will erect a prison quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Right. Right.
Wow. Well, Minister Arthur Weversey, what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to give the final thought. And we have a lot of listeners on the line. The airways is flooded. I also want you to give your information about, because I also know you have a book as well.
Yes, sir. Well,
let them know
all
that information and give your final thought.
Absolutely. I just like to think that that we have the abilities to, to heal and recover, restore our families. But it begins with each and every individual, not waiting for somebody, but taking it upon yourself to do your part. And I think that's vital for that to happen. And that should be happening with families right now. They should be looking for ways to be healed and restored right now. And I think that's vital. And then also, as a people, we got to start taking an interest in those that are, our community, our culture, our people. Just because I may not be a natural relative of somebody or whatever, if you see someone, that may need some guidance or just an encouragement or whatever, we should be giving them to that, whether there be a parent or a child. We should be doing that. Letting them know that there's something else other than what's being presented to them. There is a way that they can overcome things, and they can be successful and they can succeed within themselves. So I think that's vital. And for me, we talked about it. I have a book that's out there right now that's on the marriage, titled "Unless God Builds the House," which talks about building a relationship based upon Christ being the foundation of the marriage. But I also have a book that I'm waiting for them to get through the process to get that out there, because that's on family, and it deals with the family dynamics and how it correlates with how it's a direct correlation to the relationship, which both of those are, marriages and families are direct correlations to the relationship that God desires with us. And that book is titled "Check the DNA: Whatever Happened to We Are Family." So, and then also, I got another book that I'm working on right now, revising. It's the first one that I wrote, and I'm going to get that out there because that chronicles how I came to where I am today, and it's titled, "I Didn't Get Here by Myself, I'm Rebecca's Son." So that's going to be more lengthy, like a novel type. Yes, sir.
You always welcome on the show. You're one of the college's biggest supporters, and we support you in every way. And
I
really want to thank you and let you know it's been an honor having you on.
Oh, well, I appreciate you too, my brother, and it's always an honor to be a participant. I just try to do what I do. I don't tell people I'm not no great person of that. I don't look at myself and see myself as that. I'm just a child of the King, and I just, you know, try to do the will of my Father, and I always give him the glory and honor for what anything that I do, because, you know, he works through me.
All right. I would appreciate, you know, we have some up-and-coming guests coming on. We have R&B sensation, Iris. We also have a gospel singer, Minister Martin Rogers, that's also coming on. So if you want to stay on the line, feel free. Let us know what you think about these songs and everything. All right?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Minister Arthur Weatherby, Johnson Beaver. All right. Coming up next, we have Midwest Magic Production with two of their artists. We have the CEO and the president. They're doing so much big things, we had to call them back again for this week. So stay right there, and we'll be back with Iris, up-and-coming R&B sensation and gospel singer, Minister Martin Rogers, with CEO Ginger Patterson and President William Patterson. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
With conviction in every throw.
Live Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Midwest Magic Production, CEO Ginger Patterson. I have the president, William Patterson. I have R&B sensation Iris. And I have gospel singer, Minister Martin Rogers. I want to tell all y'all, thank you and welcome to the show. Are y'all there with me? Is everybody with me? Is everybody with me?
Hello.
Okay, okay, okay.
Hello, Iris. Hi, Martin.
Okay. Okay, who else we have with us? Oh, I hear a baby. You have a baby with us, too?
Yes, this is Iris.
Oh, hey, Iris.
How you doing?
Okay, do we have Martin Rogers with us? Minister Martin Rogers?
Yes, yes, I am.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
I am.
We have Ginger Patterson with us?
Good evening.
Okay, do we have Mr. William Patterson with us?
Hello, how are you?
All right. You know, I want to thank y'all all for joining us. I had to let the listeners know because the lines is like flooded right now. So I just had to let the listeners know. You know, we're glad to have y'all back because it was just outstanding last time y'all was here. You know, with the more than everything. So let's get into Iris?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay,
I'm here.
Let's start off with you. Okay, now, is Iris your stage name that you pronounce to be called? Because is that the government name, or you just took it as a stage name?
I picked that as my stage name.
Okay, and how did you come up with that?
Well, me and my producer and my manager decided, and we were just sitting back thinking of names we can use. So we was like, well, maybe we can use Iris. It sounds very pretty. And then we looked it up what the meaning was. It means a purple flower.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided
okay.
of that name.
Okay, and how long have you actually been singing?
I've been singing since I was 4 years old.
Okay. And who actually got you into the singing?
Well, my mom and my family, we were just all in the living room just singing and everything. And my dream.
Mm, okay. Now, as far as I know of, you was also in a church choir.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Oh, you still are in a church choir?
Yes, I'm still in a church choir. Okay. A Christian City church.
Yes. Okay, you're kind of like breaking up. You're going in and out a little. I can hear you. Sorry. You're going in and out. Okay, so now let me ask you, you're in a church choir, do you consider your music, because it's like an R&B feel to it, what did you say?
When I was in church choir, I sung like gospel music, and I taught the kids in the church choir as well.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you, how did your parents feel about you doing R&B, sticking from church choir to doing R&B singles, and not just going along with the the church instrument of the church singing, the gospel singing.
Well, R&B is like kind of like slow, nice paced music, and church choir music is real nice, metal, slow. And being with my manager, Miss Patterson, you know, they just decided to do R&B and kind of like a hip hop that kind of like fits me. So I was like, okay, well, I agreed on it with them, and then we just all decided to just make some music and R&B with hip hop as well.
Okay. And how did your parents feel about that? Because, you know, some parents feel like, okay, well, if you're doing this church choir, why wouldn't you just stay with the church choir instead of switching to R&B? How did your parents feel about that?
Well, my parents felt they weren't really like upset about it. Long as it's just like appropriate music, no cursing or any disrespectful music. You know, my grandma and my mom said it was fine. And they agreed with Mrs. Patterson as well. So she said it was fine. She wasn't too upset or anything about it.
Mm,
Okay. Now, I want to bring Miss Patterson in on this. Now, Miss Patterson, how did you and Iris actually meet up to perform a music?
Iris, I was actually brought over to my home by a friend of hers, and they needed a studio to work out of. He did. And so when he brought her over,
I hear something in the background. Wait, Miss Patterson.
She was still a singer. And I auditioned her right there inside the studio to listen to her. When I heard her voice, I said, wow, she's very talented. Very talented. And then I had to sit her aside. Me and her talked about the business of music, how really hard it is. And I wanted to see, was she able to handle the long haul. That means that she had to understand that this is not an overnight sensation, that it takes time to build up a name, it takes a lot of promotion, it takes a whole lot before your name gets out there. As I told her today, and she thought I was funny because I told her I was on my grind.
Okay.
And so, what I determined with Iris, because she had often expressed to me about her mom and her grandmother being brought up into the church, she being brought into the church, that I wouldn't give her any music that was going to be against her faith. Since I'm a spiritual person myself, I didn't want to put Iris on anything that was going to be anything that was cursing, swearing, or explicit.
That's understandable.
Those were the things that I discussed with the grandmother. Those were the things that I discussed with her mother.
Okay. Now, let's talk about you for a minute. Because I know you was on last week, and our line was flooded, but our line was flooded also again from New Caller. Now, let's know a little bit about Cindy Patterson. He was on several radio stations, Ricky Smiley Show and everything. Let us know about that.
Let's see. The most recent radio station that picked my material up was DN4IA. And DN4IA is an independent radio station satellite network that picks up 200 million homes. That's across the globe. So I am very humble. The name of the song is called Remedy, who was produced and written also by my president, which is William Patterson, a.k.a. Journal. We wrote the song together, and I had no idea when I submitted that song that song was going to be heard all over the globe in 200 million homes on satellite disc network.
Miss Vanity, right?
The name of the song is Remedy.
Remedy. Okay.
Yeah, Remedy is one of my songs, one of my pieces that both of us wrote together. I'm more of a rocker. Did you know that? I have a rock feel with my stuff.
Oh,
I'm a rock.
Okay.
I'm a rock R&B singer, rock pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an R&B singer. I'm a rock singer.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you hear my material, I mix rock music with R&B, pop music with R&B. I also do some neo soul and jazz with the two. But I'm all the rock. I have a rock flavor.
Okay. All right. Now I want to get to Minister Martin Rogers. Okay, let's get to you, Minister. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes. Okay, yeah. Now, Minister, let me ask you. Is gospel singing something that you first started into as you was younger, or did you develop it as you got older?
Oh, I started in gospel about 5. So I was in the church singing with my sister. I had 3 sisters. We sung with our mother playing the piano, you know, and so it was upbringing from church from age 5 on up to now.
Okay. Now, as you being a gospel singer, has it ever come across to you maybe one day you do R&B, or you're just going to leave it because you're a minister, that you're going to just stick to the gospel?
Well, I do the gospel, but I do also, I do peace songs, like We Are the World kind of stuff, you know, clean music. You know, I now and then I'll do some R&B, I sing at this place out here, the Sears Building, that we do some open mic. And I do a little Earth, Wind & Fire, Stevie Wonder, you know, Stylistics, as long as it's decent. You know, I got permission from my pastor, so it's all good.
Okay, now I want to ask you and Iris a question, for both of y'all to answer it. If y'all had to open for any artist that's out right now, who would it be and why? Y'all can decide who want to answer first.
Can you repeat that again?
If y'all could open for any artist that's out right now, who would it be and why? Y'all can decide on who want to answer the question first.
Go ahead, go first. The person that I really like is Keisha Cole. And the reason why I like Keisha Cole is because when she sings her music, she sings it from her heart. She don't sing it just to sing it for everybody else. Pretty much it's like the pain that she's going through in her music. She pretty much shout out to everybody and show her love. And when everybody hear her music, it's like, well, is that what Keisha Cole going through? That's why I like Keisha Cole.
Okay, Minister?
Well, I'm a Earth, Wind & Fire is my favorite group because I like what they sing about. You know, they sing about peace and love, and that's what it's all about, peace and love. And I just like the message that they put out there. So,
okay.
That would be my...
Okay, we're going to get into...
That's my style.
Okay. So, Iris, since we interviewed you first, I want to talk about your single we're about to listen to, Curious. Tell us a little bit about that.
When I sing it, very...
Hello? Iris, are you there?
Hello?
Okay, I think we lost Iris because I can hardly hear her. She's going in and out.
Out. Do you still hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you very
okay.
well.
Okay.
It's Iris. Okay, so until we get Iris back on, I want to talk to you, Minister Martin Rogers. Let's talk about your single, Sunrise, Sunset.
Right.
All right, tell us a little bit about that single.
It's a song that I just gave to me. It's kind of like an old school feel to it. I just have that gift that he gave me. It's just the style of music I love to sing. It's laid back. You know, it just sends a message of how God is with me through the good and the bad. You know, so it's a really old school flavor.
Okay. So what we gonna do?
I do the background and lead. So.
Okay. So what we gonna do? We gonna get into that single right now. We gonna play that. We're going to come back to Iris. We're going to take some callers amongst our singles, and we're going to play Iris singles.
Okay, right now I'm in between transactions. I'm going outside, so I'm down at the Salvation Army where I do some ministry at. So I'm going outside. I'm going to a program. So it's a break up.
Okay.
Because I'm outside. Okay.
Okay. But we're going to play your single right now. Sunrise.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Dons and Divas. This is Minister Martin Rogers from Sunrise to Sunset, right here on DQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive. with joy when I think about the goodness of the Lord and how He brought me through the storm.
How you came with the flow and the energy of that song.
Thank you. Now, thank you. God the glory.
Now, who actually produced that single?
I did the writing. I did some producing, but Keith Brown from Palmer K Studios in Minneapolis did producing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, as far as I know of, William Parrish, you also an engineer as well, right?
Yes. I met her about 6 years ago. We did a song called President of the Lord is Here. and I recorded that one with her at her studio. I recently just got back in contact with her because she had moved, and I've been trying to find a connection with somebody to work with me. And so God put it on my heart for me to call her and connect with her. So we back together.
Okay. Now, Mr. William Patterson, you're there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now you also an engineer. Have you ever thought about doing some music with Martin Rogers, Minister Martin Rogers, as well?
At the time that I was, he worked with Ginger Patterson. He also worked with me.
Right.
At the time that we worked, I was actually pretty young. I was about 16.
Right.
And we actually did a few productions together, and it was a great time. I actually try to be as versatile as I can be with doing gospel, R&B, pop, rock. I've dabbled in a bit of everything.
I hear a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah, I probably might be me. I'm in a car with some people.
Okay. So now, let me ask y'all, performing as one big family, right? How do y'all feel about Midwest Magic Production? I asked Mr. William Patterson that last week with Amora, and I also asked Ginger Patterson with Amora. So how do all y'all feel as a family, as one?
We feel like basically just one tight-knit group. We help each other out. If one's missing something, we always put in to make sure that we strengthen our weaknesses and we stay strong as a whole. We never make anyone feel like less. We always put each other on equal levels, and we all are pushing for the same goals no matter what. We have always tried to keep everything strong by being there for each other in hard times. And even in good times, we stay together no matter what.
Okay. Now, I want to ask Ms. Ginger Patterson and Mr. William Patterson a question. Now, where do you see your success going?
Well, I see my success going personally towards, getting our, first of all, Grammys all the way. Also growing our company to a big enough standpoint so that we can help our artists and basically get them on the level that they want to be at, and teach them how to not only take their little money, take what they take from our company, but to take that and go as far as they can go. And take that to their next levels in life, even after the music business, even after, they're ready to go off and do their own things, but they can take something from our company and be able to keep themselves going and keep themselves alive.
My vision for the company is self-reliance. I would like to see my artists self-sufficient. I would like to see my artists rich. I would like to see my artists on top. I want to see a Grammy on my wall. So there's a lot of great things I would like to see for my artists to go, but most of all is I would like to see them self-sufficient. Does that answer your question? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Hear you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was me. I heard your response, because I was saying afterwards, I want to hear William's response now, because I heard George and I believe Iris, but now I want to hear William's response and Minister Martin Rogers' response, because then I want to get into one of Iris' singles, Curious. But first, I would like to hear their response.
Yes, sir. My song Curious is
pretty much about love and my perfection, and telling the boy pretty much just like, give me what I want, and show them that I'm serious, and pretty much just show them, you know, respect, you know what I'm saying? Just all kinds of respect, not just respect. So my music, Curious, very, very, it's like kind of like a hip-hop thing, and I think a lot of people will really like it.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to play Curious, but now I want Mr. William Patterson. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Actually, what you heard from me was my, the response was I had already given my response, but I'm free to say it again. I would like
okay, I got somebody on the line. Okay, now, Martin Rogers, did you give your response? I'm trying to catch key of the voices right now. Okay, I got key of the voices right now. All right.
Now, what was the question again, please?
Okay, as far as you being in Midwest production, where do you see the success going?
Oh, sky's the limit, man. I mean, I've been doing it for so long, and this when I connected with the production, she opened her arms to me, and I just felt the presence of love and just of people that's fair and you know that want to work with you. So like I feel like a part of the family. So this is sky's the limit. I'm open to do what I ever have to do to work together. I mean, we have to work together for it to work. So I'm in here for the long haul. So Grammys, whatever's in the picture, I'm shooting for the top.
Okay. Now, Ms. Patterson and Mr. William Patterson, I want to ask y'all one more question before we go to Iris Single. Is there a limitation to the artist that you put on your label?
Has that been on all along?
Personally, we pick artists that we believe in. We believe are talented. We believe that have, you know, that have drive and that have, that are hungry, that really want the business, because the business is always, like we know, is a very hard industry. We limit the artists to people that we can work with and collaborate with, that have good positive attitudes and have good positive personalities, that we can all get along well and help each other out. As long as they fit the mold, they will never be pushed away. As long as they come with respect, as long as they come with talent, they come with creativity, there's always a place.
Okay. Well, what I want to do after this call, I'm going to start taking callers after this single. Remember, if you're on the air already, all you got to do is press 1 to speak to the, I'm going to say the family at Midwest Magic Production, because the lines is just flooded. So if you're on the air now and you want to speak to Mr. William Patterson, the president, Ginger Patterson, the CEO, Minister Martin Rogers, the artist, Iris, the R&B sensation at Midwest Magic Production, and you're on the air already, all you got to do is press 1. If you're on your PC, your personal computer, dial 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air, or you can stay on the line for the show. Right now, we're going to go into Irish Singles, Curious, right here on GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Hello?
I don't know your name, but you make me feel like I wanna. You're inside of my brain. I wanna get to know you better. There's something about you that tell me it's the wrong move, but I'm gonna ignore it, cause I want you to make me feel good. I want to know what it feels like, even though it's wrong, it makes me feel so right. Boy, you got me too, got me too. Boy, you got me too, got me too. This is so much cooler. the way that you look. You got me daydreaming, and I know that I'm good. Could you have my body fainted? I know it's wrong, boy, but I want ya, so I ignore it. I want your hands on my body. I want you to make me feel good.
Love the format of that song. Now, how did you come up with the format of that song, and who actually produced it?
Well, me and my manager, Mrs. Patterson and Will, we decided to sit back and think about something, and me and Will was like, so what are you feeling right now? And Will was just, you know, Will was the one who produced it, and we just sat down together and just started writing stuff, and he was like, okay, we're going to do this. So he put me on the headphones, and we just go ahead and got it. So I'm excited.
Now, I could see the stage performance of it. Have you ever came to the point where you've been stage fright or anything?
No, sir, I really haven't. I've never been afraid to sing in front of anybody.
Because, you know, you got a lot of people just sitting there staring at you and everything. Now, what I want to ask you and Minister Martin Rogers is, what is your inspiration and goal as an upcoming artist?
Well, my goal is to become big and, you know, just know that my dream is coming true. I've been singing for a long time, and when I met Mrs. Patterson and Will, Mrs. Patterson, you know, sat back and talked to me about the goals and what it's going to take to get there. And I told Ms. Patterson and Will, I said, you know what, however it takes, I know that I'm going to take the time to do it, and I know that I can do it. Once I get up there and sing in front of a lot of people, I just feel like I'm in a bubble of dreams. Like, is this really true? You know, that's how I feel, and I'm very, very excited. And I thank Ms. Patterson and Will for really working with me and trying to make me get to the top, because this is my dream come true.
Okay, Minister Martin Rogers? Hello? Hey, Martin Rogers on the air. Okay, I guess we lost Martin Rogers. William Patterson, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, we still have you on the line. Now, I know you did some stuff, some productions and everything. Have you considered about doing any productions with Iris as well?
Yes, I've done quite a few productions. Actually, everything that you've heard has either been produced or co-produced by me. We've gone through so many different styles. As you can see, I'm a very versatile writer. I write so many different things. And I like to sit down with each of my artists and find out what they sound like. And capture their sound and give them their own spin and give them their own feel. And make the, you know, brand them, identify them, so that they have, so that they all stand out in their own way, in whatever genre they sound like, or whatever genre they're shooting for. And when I heard Iris's voice, I sat down, I said, you are such an R&B singer. You have this great, strong vocal, and we can put it together so well and make it so very commercial. And she was all with it. The second I said that, she was on board, I was on board, and we just started writing really great pieces, really strong pieces.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have a caller on the line, and I want to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello,
caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. All right, you on the air?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Okay, you have CEO William Patterson. You have up-and-coming artist, gospel singer Martin Rogers. You have R&B sensation, up-and-coming singer Iris. And you have CEO Ginger Patterson and President William Patterson.
Wow. That's beautiful. So all of you all are a whole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, we are.
Oh, so what is y'all next? What is y'all next big move in the music industry?
Well, as of this time, our next big as of this time, our next big move is to basically we're on an upward mobility. We're going to be starting to do shows. We're starting to do a lot of videography.
Okay.
We're going to be doing music videos for our artists. We're going to be making some major moves here in touring. We're going to be making some major moves here and opening up another facility and opening up a new headquarters. We're in the process of doing a lot of different things as of this time.
Oh, sound like you guys, like, really got it together. So you all do R&B and gospel or just gospel?
We do R&B, we do gospel, we do pop, we do rock, we do alternative, jazz.
Whatever God leads y'all to do, that's what you do, I guess.
Yes, whatever the project comes to.
Oh, okay.
What we do is we do all styles of genre. We don't just tend to one style because everyone has their own style. And
that's true.
Styling. And so what we do is we look at the person that comes in, as I was explaining on last week's show,
uh-huh.
is that I'm one of the more person that studies a voice. I like to study a voice and then take it from where I think that they would fit into the music at.
Okay.
Like there's certain things that can't, if you're a country singer, you can't be switched over to R&B.
Right.
If you're a jazz singer, you might can switch over to R&B, but uh-huh. it will be hard for you to switch over into rock.
Right.
But it depends on the person who comes in, and we listen to their voice so that we can fit their style or brand their style to fit the right music to their style. So right now, Midwest Magic, we have a jazz singer by the name of Russell Brown that's on our label. He's from New Jersey. We have...
He said New Jersey?
He's from New Jersey.
Wow, what part?
Yes. We have the gospel singer, which is Minister Martin Lawrence.
Oh,
Martin Rogers. I'm sorry, Martin Rogers.
Okay.
We have Amora, who sings pop. Journal, who is on the air, a.k.a. Journal William Patterson. He sings pop, R&B.
That's what's up.
I myself sing jazz, rock. So we have a versatility and versatile styles of different music on our record label as it is now.
Okay. So you all sing for all, you know, you putting it out there for all ages, I'm assuming, as well.
Yes, we're in all age categories. What we did was we broke it up. Like, William Iris is for the younger generation. RIM, or AKA Journal, is for the 23 to 30 year old crowd. Amora picks up the 30 year to 35 year old crowd. Martin and myself, we got the 35 to 65 year old.
Wow.
Because they love music too, and we forget that they
yes,
are out
we do.
There.
Yes, we do.
And they are the ones who really purchase the music and don't download.
Okay.
So we have to look at, you know, the 35 to 65-year-olds because they still really like music. But we
mm-hmm.
forget that they're still out there.
Right, right. Well,
so,
like I said, sound like, you know, I was going to ask if you all were going to do any plays, but you said that. Seemed like you got it, you know, working in progress for everything that you're doing. And, you know, I'm sure y'all keeping God first, because without him, you wouldn't be where you are today. You
he
know, and
I
just...
That my company is built on a spiritual faith. With magic,
good.
I walk in love. That is my key to my company. It's the fruit of the spirit.
Okay.
And I see that people are not in the fruit of the spirit, then I have a tendency of backing off.
Right. Okay, you said that you have an artist here in New Jersey, right? So
yeah.
Do you all plan on having anything in the New Jersey area anytime soon?
Well, Russell Brown is already up here playing a lot of jazz up in the New Jersey area.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, too, work with a guy by the name of Lucas Lasagna. He's a singer up there, and we're all underneath Def Jam label.
Okay.
So I will be going up there hopefully by the end of February to work on some tracks and do some casino jobs that he wants me to sing at. It was Big Band.
Okay.
So I will be joining him hopefully by the end of February to do some casino jobs with him.
Well,
and then
if you
could, Brown is already up there performing.
Okay, if you could you let GQ Palace know when that, you know, you're going to be in the New Jersey area, because that's the area I'm in?
I will definitely let GQ Palace know when I'm going to be up there in that area, in New Jersey's area.
Okay, and keep it positive. I'm in the central part of New Jersey.
Okay.
Like 45 minutes from Newark, you know, in that area.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what area you're talking, you know, speaking of. But just stay blessed and keep God first, and I'm sure you all will go to the lifts and, you know, levels that you plan on.
May I ask who I'm speaking with?
This is T.
Hi, T.
Hi.
If you know, I like to give away free CDs for my guests.
Oh.
Because I think that is what's missing in the music industry.
Uh-huh.
And so if you can leave your name and I can give you a compilation CD or send it to your
Thank
house.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would definitely give the switchboard operator my info.
Yeah, just give info. And as a fan, I always give stuff away, you know.
Okay. I appreciate that so very much. And like I said, you guys, you know, keep up the great work and be blessed.
Thank you, T.
You're welcome.
Okay, now, is Minister Martin Rogers, is he still on the air? Because I tried to get in touch with him a little earlier. I couldn't contact him. Is he still here? Okay. Iris, are you still here?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Okay, since I have you on the line, I want to get into another one of your singles.
Okay.
All right? Worth Your Time. Tell us about that.
Worth Your Time is like kind of like a feeling song, like pretty much it's coming from my heart. It's just like music that I'm doing, and when me and Will were sitting down in the studio, she was like, so what is on your mind? Like, how are you feeling? And I was like, well, I'm feeling like this. And he said, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to sit here and write this music, and we're going to sit here and think about how you feel, what's going on, what's running through your mind. So we were just sitting there making the music, and we just thought of Worth Your Time, and we just started singing it. And he was like, well, you know what, just put your heart into it. And once you put your heart into it, I know that we both can do it, so...
All right, so you know what? We're going to get into that right now, all right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by R&B sensation Iris off the Midwest Magic production, Worth Your Time. Remember where you heard it first, DQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Do you know what it feels like to have a million dollars running through your head? Oh, oh, think about where you at. Late night while laying in the bed. And I wonder, when you're out of mind, do you ever have a thought about me?
Dons and Divas, welcome back. Iris, I love that song. I got to tell you, I listened to that song about 3 or 4 times. I have listened to it about 3 or 4 times. I love that song. Now, how did you come up with the concept for that song?
Well, the reason why I came up with the concept of Worth Your Time is because, like, the words that I'm saying in my music, it's pretty much like pain. Like, I have really so much pain in my life, and a lot has been going on with my life. So when I think of music, I just, you know, put my words and my pain and how I'm feeling into it. And pretty much all my words that I'm saying is, like, pretty much shouting out to all the ladies. Like, if they're going through something, you know, it's not really hard to sit back and write it down. Like, you can write your music down how you feel. You can write it in a journal. You know, you could sit back and talk to somebody or, you know, read your Bible and pray about it because, you know, you can't do it by yourself. And when I was with Will and Mrs. Patterson, you know, they knew that, okay, well, we're going to do a concept like this. This is how Iris feels, you know. And Will was like, well, let's go ahead and do this. So I told him how I felt and what was going on, and that's why I made the song called Worth Your Time.
Wow. Now, let me ask y'all, Mr. William Patterson, Miss Ginger Patterson, Iris, do we have Martin Rogers, Mr. Martin Rogers, back on the line yet?
I'm back.
Okay. I want to get into one more of your singles as well. But first, I want to ask, have y'all ever thought about doing something together all at once? And if so, how would y'all accomplish that?
I haven't thought about it, but I would love to. and it's a very simple process. I guess it generally comes down to me as the producer to come up with something that we can all work out and do together, and just put everyone's heart into one song that we can all sit down together and just kick around and collaborate with and just come up with it on, as an entirety, as a whole, and put it together. But I am not turning that down at all. That would be awesome for us to all get together and do a collaborative
I think, because all y'all have sensational voices, y'all all have different styles, and all the styles are good. So to put that in one category, to do one single, I think it'll be an explosion. It would definitely be an explosion. Now, Minister Martin Rogers, you there? Or did we lose him again? we lost Minister Martin Rogers again. Ms. Patterson, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, you didn't lose me.
Okay. Now, let me ask you. Now, Minister Martin Rogers, I'm pretty sure he's going to call back in because, you know, he already said he's in an area where the phone going to go up and down, in and out. He did a song. I don't know if I got the name correctly. Present of the Lord. I mean, Present of the Lord.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Yes. Okay. Now, as far as you being a CEO and everything, and I'm Mr. Williams, you are as well, as far as you being a president, how did y'all feel about that single? What was the inspiration of that single, if you could be recalled?
I would have that one, that she's the one that produced it.
Okay, I'm the one who produced that one.
Okay.
What it was is that I wanted to get the essence of the Holy Spirit, the wind. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get the essence of the Holy Ghost going through, like, the church, of how it feels like a rushing wind. And so when we did it, it's a praise and worship song. So it was just uplifting God, uplifting the Lord, you know. And so this song has a great tie to me in my heart. In fact, I was humming it today as I was out and about today, because it has so much power in it. When the audience listens to it, then they understand when I say it has power and it has the presence of God on top of that song. When Martin brought it to me, I was just blown away. When he let me hear it the first time, and I said, wow, I would love to do the production on this song. And so that's what I did. I went ahead and did the production of the song, and with help of other members on the team and his band members, and my son engineering the board, it became a beautiful experience. I walked out of there with such a glow in my face. It was miraculous. You know,
wow.
We all feel the presence of God when that song was done.
So it's
gone, and hopefully Martin will come back on the line, or if I can get Wim to put him on three-way, so I can get Martin playing as well.
Okay, so you know what I want to do? I want to get into that single right now, Presence of the Lord. We're going to try to get Martin back on the line, so he could get his version of it. And I got a few more questions I want to ask y'all, because I know, you know, y'all run, the time is kind of short. I know we got a certain amount of time, and y'all got things y'all got to do. But I want to get into that single, try to get Martin back on, asking some questions.
Okay.
Let y'all give me all y'all information, and we're going to take it from there, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, Dons and Davis. Here's another fire track off of the Midwest Magic production by Minister Martin Rogers. Presence of the Lord, right here in DQ Palace. Love it.
It is butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Me.
think I'm about to go on air, Mom. Bye-bye.
Wow. Minister Martin Rogers, do we have you on the air now?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
All right. I love that song. You got like that, how can I say it, like that little Anthony feel. You know
okay.
what I mean when you hit those notes?
I don't hear it all.
you just go in on it. You really go in on it when you hit them. It's like, you want me to give you an example? Like, you seen the Five Heartbeats, right?
Yes, I have.
When he came out and he hit that high note, he was high behind the curtains and he came out and hit that high
right.
note.
Right, yeah.
And he just started going crazy. That's
yep.
the feeling I get when I hear it. It's like, whoa.
All right.
Now, is that you singing both parts of the song?
What you get? Okay, hold on. Need two mics. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm back. My manager is for the. I'm outside at the event that we get ready to sing at.
Oh, okay. Now, is that you singing the whole song?
Excuse me.
That's you singing the whole song, right?
Yes, that's me. I'm doing the background.
You're hitting both parts. You're hitting like the bass part and the high note part.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Wow. How long did it take you to develop that to sing that song in that type of format?
Be honest with you, it just came, and you know I write it down. I kind of hear it in my head, and God just give me the rest of it, and I just go with it, and I let the magic happen. And Ginger and Will did the rest of the magic.
Okay, now let me ask y'all. Do we still have Miss Patterson on the line, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we have Iris on the line.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, we have Minister Martin Rogers on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we have William Patterson on the line. Well, you know, I always get three.
I took a face.
Well, at least I got three. I'm pretty sure Mr. William Patterson will call back in and everything. But let me ask y'all, what's the next step for Iris? What's the next step for Midwest Magic Production? And what's the next step for Minister Martin Rogers? Whoever want to answer first.
We'll connect with Midwest Magic. That's the question.
Yes, what is the next step?
Well, I think our next step will be to start another song and to go ahead and think of another concept. And finish our albums that we have started and keep pushing forward. Stay in the studio, put our mind to it, and I know that all of us can do it.
Okay.
My next move is that we're right at the presently building another studio up in Minneapolis. And my next move is to get Iris inside the studio at least before finish her album and to put her album out there for distribution. From distribution, I would like to see her get into the college circuit as well as Moore and Wham. And so I'm working on that behalf of getting them shows. And so that's where I want to see my artist go to. I'm looking at getting Martin Rogers' album finished and completed. Doing a gospel, a whole full gospel album. And then I'm going to be submitting all his stuff to all the gospel stations. I would like to see Martin Rogers, it's his time to win a Stella Award. I want to see him win one. It's time that he gets a Stella Award. I'm going to be pushing hard to get their music out there. And hopefully we achieve the goals that I would like to see go.
Now, as far as, you know, you being CEO, Ms. Patterson, did you do any videos yet? You plan on doing any videos for any artists? And so, you know.
Yes, we are. We have already started. I have a videographer up there in Minneapolis, and we will be doing some video shoots and getting some things done here shortly. We're working on those projects now. As we are speaking, first of all, we're going to be working on Amora and Williams CD Journal video. Those are the first two that I'm going to get started on. And then we're going to branch out from there once I get Iris' album finished and Martin's album finished, and then we will go ahead and make video from them. But the first two I'm working on right now is Journal, William Patterson, and Amora's video.
Okay. Now, I know Midwest Magic Production, they are also a record label. Now, what if you have an MC that comes towards you, but you know, I'm asking you this, Ms. Patterson, but you know, you're listening to their material, and you like it, but it's some, how can I say it, profanity in it. And a part of you is telling you not to do it, but a part of you is saying, well, okay, this artist is going to bring a lot of things to Midwest Production. How do you go by and category presenting that to the artist in a way where you want him, but in another way, you can't have him, but you would like him? You understand what I mean?
Can you repeat that again? I couldn't hardly hear you.
Okay. What it is, okay, let's say you have a hip-hop artist that comes to you, okay? And you know they're good. You see their potential, but they have profanity in their song. How would you develop a part of you to say, okay, I want this artist? But considering on the fact of how you run your label, how would you accept that?
Well, honestly, if you want my honest answer, Midwest Magic, when I started my company, I had always told myself that I would not produce artists who come in my studio cursing all over a song. I won't do profanity. Mm-hmm. And reasons why is because I think you can write lyrics without profanity. I think some of our best hip-hop artists that came out from Will Smith to Ice-T in the States, they wrote some good lyrics. They were lyric writers, you know. So I think that if the song has more of a message than what I'm hearing today of what the message is, I don't, personally, I didn't found my company under that type of style. So if you're a rapper and you're coming in with profanity on a song, I will try to detour them to writing better lyrics or something more positive that's going to send a message to the community, that is going to say something that will brighten up someone's day or say something positive for that. It would enlighten someone for that day. So my whole thing with Midwest Magic is about upward mobility and positivity, positive. I'm not so cool about someone coming in my studio and swearing and cursing and saying the B word and calling a woman an H on my mic for 4 to 8 hours. That is not Midwest Magic Production style. I will not allow that in my studio. I mean, and because personally, I don't want to hear someone rapping for 4 to 8 hours, disrespecting women nor themselves for 8 hours. I just don't have the ears for that. Now, my son, Will, he might be different on that, but Midwest Magic Productions, we're not founded on profanity. I will not have that in my studio.
Mm-hmm. So your label is mainly based on clean versions, automatic radio play, and that's what you're sticking to. And I honor you in that, because a lot of stations, a lot of labels, most likely they feel like, okay, well, that's what the population of generation now like to hear, so they're going to go with it.
You know, you see the shaking in the videos and everything like that. But it's good to know that it's the label out there that sticking to, okay, this is how I want this. I want this clean. I want this the video version. I don't need the profanity. I don't need the disrespect of the woman in the videos. I don't need the disrespect of the woman in the song. And, you know, I really honor you on that. I really do honor you on that. Because
well,
a lot of ladies, they don't think about that.
I thank you. It's a matter of today we have to change, not just for ourselves, but for the next generation of kids. When rappers came out, allowing in our and people in the homes allowing all that stuff to be played around their children, they don't understand that it's sunk into their spirit. And when you sink that kind of negativity in your spirit, you have 20 years of generation of negative.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, if I would have walked in the house as a you know, young girl and I would have said all that stuff around my father, I would have, I mean, he would have, I would have been on punishment. You know what my father would have did to me. So
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of you know, we have allowed so much stuff to seep into our spirit, man, and this is why there's so much negativity within inside of our community now. There's a disrespect
mm-hmm.
across the board.
Mm-hmm.
When you have 5-year-olds that will cuss out their mother, it's not because of they, you know, it's because what they see around them, what they heard around them. If you're giving your son or daughter to listen to this type of music for 4 hours a day, what do you expect their vocabulary is going to be? What do you expect that they're going to, how they're going to act towards you as a parent if you continue feeding your child this type of material? So as Midwest Magic, I made the choice not to feed that type of negativity to my community or to the kids or to the environment around me because I, you know, negativity only brings negativity. And then everyone wants to know why we have young men today that are sagging and calling themselves out of their name along with calling the young girl out of the name, and now it's just acceptable. It has become acceptable that even the young women or ladies are accepting that name as that B word as being a title. And that is a disrespect to me. It should be a disrespect not just to me, but to the community. So I personally, Midwest Magic Productions was never founded on profanity. So, rappers, if you're a rapper out there, I'm sorry, Mr. Patterson does not produce or would take 8 hours of her time to sit down behind a studio to hear you swear for 8 hours.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Look at Common. You understand that they're Common. Look at, who else is it? I can't remember his name. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta really, it's a lot of artists out there that don't use profanity in their lyrics. So you're right, you don't have to use it in your lyrics. You understand?
Right.
And I think some artists that use it in their lyrics, they attracting just one crowd. You understand? You need to attract the crowd all around, you know, all around, get everybody involved. Because even if you don't use profanity, if that artist, if that person that's a true fan of yours, they're going to like you whether you use it or not.
Correct. And so you have to understand that when hip-hop came out long years ago, hip-hop was fun. It was message music. It was a political
mm-hmm.
thing. And now it's no longer fun and it's no longer political directed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like I was reading this this article that the gentleman had went to a private meeting, and in this private meeting they had all the big bosses at this meeting that controlled the record industry. And they were all discussing the status of what was going to go on with hip hop, how they were going to do hip hop. So, meeting, they had already made a pact that hip hop was going to become what it is now, so that they can build more jail cells.
Mm-hmm.
The more negative hip hop was, they knew that it was going to set a negative influence across the country, across the nation. And so what they did was they started building jail cells, because jail cells is a profit. To put men in jail and have them work in slave labor, they accumulate a profit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the sales of the album, but from the profit of them going to jail. So they knew that when they promoted negative rap music, and they pushed it to the max, and they pushed it to our community to the max, they knew that our children in the future were going to turn up to be negative, so that they can build cells instead of going to school. And they did this. They did this back in the 90s, where they had this private meeting where all the big cats from the record industry met together to do this to our community. Well, I refuse to continue to live in that cycle, knowing the history of what they were trying to do to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has not stopped, because we are not educating the young people that this is what the industry or the major labels have done in order to perpetuate the negative in our community, so that they can continue to build more cells, so they can continue to lock us up and use us as slave labor. That's
mm-hmm.
their way of keeping, in which I say, slavery still exists still in 2013.
Mm, okay.
Okay, and they use the penitentiary system in order to keep slavery existing. And our young man who's out there trying to do this rap, what we call gangster rap, all they're doing is they're feeding in to what they set up long years ago in order to keep this cycle going. So
mm-hmm.
me understanding this, I, Midwest Magic Productions, I refuse to continue to perpetuate the negative.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely honor you on that. And I know y'all had things to do. So is Iris still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Iris, let me ask you, what is your aspects as an up-and-coming artist?
Well, my aspects are to be strong, not give up, you know, keep my head up, just, you know, anything that I can put my mind to, that I know I can do it. Just trust in the Lord, and God will set me free.
Okay. Do we have Minister Martin Rogers back on the line? Martin, are you there? No, we don't have him on the line. Okay, well, you know what? I think we lost William Patterson as well. But, McJizza Patterson, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, and we still have Iris on the line. So what I would like
yes.
you now to do is give out all the information, because our lines are still flooded. We still have people on the lines that's listening in. We have new callers listening and everything. So I want you to give them all your information.
Iris and Ms. Linda Patterson. Either one of y'all can start first. It don't matter.
Oh. Well, you can reach me on the internet. All you have to do is type in Ginger Patterson Midwest Magic Productions, and all my links will come up. I'd like for you to get in contact with me on LinkedIn. Iris's music should be distributed here within the next month or so. Once we get her whole entire album completed and finished, it should be out by the summer. It will be underneath Midwest Magic Productions label. You can already buy our albums off the net underneath Midwest Magic Productions. It's distributed. If you just type in our names, individual albums, Journal, you can type in Journal. He's got two albums out, Composition and Day and Night. You can buy that. Amora has an album out called Breaking Bridges. And my album is called Another Day in Time. So when you Google it in, you can pull all those up on the net, and you'll see that Midwest Magic Productions music is distributed, and you can purchase it right off the net.
Okay, Iris?
You guys can find me on Facebook. My Facebook is Iris Hawkins. My website is CandaceHawkins81@yahoo.com. And I have another website on Google. You can go on Google as well and find me as CandaceHawkins255@yahoo.com. And I'm located in Greenville, Texas. I have a cell phone number. My number should be on Facebook as well. So if anybody wants to contact me, you can.
Okay. I just have one more question for y'all. One more question. How do you balance everything out? That's my question. Ms. Patterson, let's start with you. How do you balance everything out? The label, you got the video, you got the studios, you got the artists, you all the artists, you're a CEO. How do you balance everything out?
Time management. What I do is I first take each artist and I see where they're at from the ground level. If they just have started off with inside of the studio and they're getting their albums done, then they're still working on completing their album. So with the ones that are starting off, I know they have to complete and finish their album. That's their first step. The other ones that their albums are finished, then I go ahead and I start working on promotions and distribution and radio shows. They're trying to get their music put out on the radio. That's my next level. Also, once I get all that done, then they're ready for show. Once I got the CDs, the package, everything designed and put together, then I know I can take them to the next level of package of doing live performances. Then that becomes I have to get a band together. Then they have to practice and they have to rehearse and rehearse some more for that. Once they got all the videos, all the music done, then we look at the product, the songs off of that. And then we start off with the storyboard. And then I switch that over to the videography department. And then they work on putting the video to go along with that song. So it's all a separate, it's all two steps. I have to take step by step on what artist is finished, completed, compiled, go through each day. I just use time management and take it step by step of where they're at with inside the company. And that keeps me on top of my T's and Q's of knowing, well, this person over here, they need to have this done, and this person right here has to get this finished. And so everything is lined up on a step, you know, so I know which direction or level that each artist is on.
Wow. Well, you know, I really want to thank y'all. You know, Ms. Patterson, it's always an honor. And, you know, you welcome back anytime. You know, you always You always welcome back. It's never a problem. All you got to do is call.
I appreciate it.
Is there any shout outs y'all want to give to anybody?
Can I add one more thing onto that?
Sure.
Organization. I have to organize my day, and I start out at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I take a notepad out, and I write down what I have to do to each artist. And then I try, and I set a goal to get all those things done by time the end of the day. And if I don't get it done, then I get angry with myself.
Okay. All right. Is there any shout-outs I want to give to anybody or anything like that?
Yes, I would like to shout-out to my family back at home in Baltimore, Maryland. I want to shout-out to my Aunt Doopie that died. I want to shout-out to my mom, my dad, and my Aunt April, Aunt Leah, and my grandmother, and my brothers and sisters as well. And I really appreciate it being on the air tonight and everybody just show prayers and everything out. And there's another shout-out I want to shout-out to. I want to shout-out to my boyfriend, and he's doing everything well, and I'm glad to be there with him as well. Thank you.
Okay.
And I want to shout-out to Quincy, too. Quincy Q Stevenson. He's got a beautiful voice. He sounds just like Eddie Kendricks. When you hear Quincy sing, he sounds just like Eddie Kendricks from The Temptations. I can't wait to release his album next. And he's been doing a beautiful job in the studio. So maybe on the next show I can bring Q on and get an interview with Q.
Sure. You know, that's never a problem. Not a problem at all.
I appreciate it.
All right. And I want to thank everybody because the lines are still flooded. I want to let everybody know you have Midwest Magic Production on the air. You have Ms. Ginger Patterson, the CEO. Mr. William Patterson, the president. We had R&B sensation Iris. And we also had gospel singer Minister Martin Rogers. Now, as you know, Ms. Patterson, we're going to rotate the songs because we have 6 episodes a week. So the songs will be rotated. So you do know that. We actually played Ms. Vanity and Green Light on a Wednesday night, DC College Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad last week. So we're going to keep rotating your songs.
Thank you. Thank you.
Diva.
I surely appreciate it. GQ Palace is the greatest radio station out there. I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you guys for having us on. I love you.
We love you, too.
You guys are beautiful.
All right. Thank you. Like I said, you're welcome back anytime. It's no problem.
Thank you.
All right. Midwest Magic Productions family, Dons and Divas. All right, that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank all the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, GQ Palace has 6 episodes a week with 8 different hosts. Sundays, we have Spiritual Sundays from 7 to 9 with Lavina Polite, with the most powerful ministers, elders, evangelists, and pastors that we play. They play the gospel music. They recite scriptures from the Bible as well. You can call in and give your testimony. Same number, same link. Mondays, we have GQ Palace Love, Life, and Loyalty with the host with the most, Jeff Dallas, from 7 to 9, talking about hot topics, parental advisory for Monday's show, Please No Children. After Steph Dallas, from 9 to 10, we have Relation, Lies, and Deceit with Dr. Feelgood on Monday. Once again, no children, adults only, parental advisory. On Tuesday, we have DQ Palace Sports, DPS, with the mayor bringing you the bigger picture in sports from 8 to 10. If you know about sports or you think you know about sports, call in, join in the fun. It's all love. No, he also has special guests that be coming on as well. On Wednesday from 8 to 10, we have Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad. Rachel, Shelly, and T doing their thing, playing the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B and discussing their grown and sexy topics. And on Fridays, once again, it's your host, Rich Money. Also, we have a new show coming on Thursday, February 23rd, with K.L. Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin on Thursday, February 23rd, The Truth and Reality. So stay tuned for that. I'm your host, Rich Money. I also have to give a great big shout out. Everybody on the station gave a shout out. I couldn't give one because it wasn't her birthday yet. So I have to give a great big shout out to my baby, Lavina. Happy birthday. I love you. And I just want the world to know that is my heart. All right? That's my heart, Lavina for life. She's my executive producer. She's my host for Sundays. She's my best friend. She's my everything. She's just my everything. But I want y'all to have a happy and safe weekend. I am your host, Rich Money. This is DQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. Hope to hear from y'all next week. Everybody have a blessed weekend. This is DQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure. Happy birthday, Lavina.
Not have a David Wood. The unity of all people.